we are going to recognize. Remember at the picnic, we baptized several people. Well, one of those is here with us today. So, Miss Trinity, if you would come up, please. She was baptized at the picnic, and we want to congratulate you. And I will she's going to give you a hug. And I'm going to give you a certificate. Thank you. And we recently had people who said they would like to become members of the church. So at this time, if I could have Caleb Detra, Morgan Detra, Matt Scott, and Jesse Waddell come up. Miss Rosalie has joined as well, but she is currently in the hospital at the moment. She had a little procedure done on Friday and had a little bit of complication with it. That's as much as I know right at the moment.
I did get a message from Athena, and they were afraid that there was possibly a hole in her esophagus because she had aspirated, but that test came back. No, her esophagus is just fine and healed, and I don't know any more beyond that, but Athena was in very positive spirits today, so things are healing. She's recovering.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So having said that, Caleb, welcome, sir.
Thank you.
I will give you that. Miss Morgan. And it's been a real, I mean, obviously I raised that one, but you know, when these kids, well, I call them kids because I am old enough to be their dad now. I have jumped over you. Shut up, Phil. But, you know, when you've seen them as little children and they keep growing and now they're school teachers and doing this and that, and it's pretty awesome. And to know that they're affecting other people's lives for Jesus Christ, you know, so that is a great thing. And then they bring us somebody like Matt Scott. He's a good man. And my son, Jesse, who's also a good man. Welcome, guys. We will recognize Rosalie next week. I speak that in faith and no further complications. I want to jump a little bit ahead. Bob, if you would come up. Would you like a microphone, sir? Yeah. I have no idea who I'm grabbing, so Jesse, I don't know whose microphone he's got. It'll light up in a second. It's the one on the left? That's the one they don't use. I'm going to the complete opposite of the spectrum. Check, check, test. There we go. There we go.
Hello. Yes.
Sounding good, sir.
Okay. This is a little different for me. We had kind of a busy week. Well, started last Sunday. We left here and went to Willa Morris's birthday party. And it was seemed like the thing to do, you know, and it's a way to get a free meal.
Oh yeah,
and we were glad to see Willa, and happy birthday to her, and then we went home and took a nap. The thing to do on Sunday afternoon. Went out later in the evening and did chores. Drove around and looked at the crops. And the cook takes Sunday off, so went and got a pizza. And ate it on the way home, you know. And when we got home, I was ready to call today. And Karen, she had to water some flowers. And I went in the house, went to the bathroom, went in and sat down in my chair, and I'm ready to proceed, you know. And I heard Karen come in, and at the time, I realized I had no feeling in my right arm. And I sat there in the chair and I got it drug up. I thought, I better tell Karen. So I went to the bathroom and I knew what I wanted to say, but I couldn't say it. And of course, my arm, you know, was like so. I had to think about the thing I'd do with the kids when they was little and hold this. But hey, that's about the way it was. And so I finally communicated to Karen what I thought was wrong, and she said, "We got to do something." And she said, "Let's go to the emergency room." And we left. I tell the story that Karen left, and then she had to come back and get me, and then we went, you know. But she called our son Bob, and she told him what my symptoms were. And he said, "Well, just come to Marion." And good thing I had my seatbelt on, because we really went to Marion. And but Karen did a good job. She got us there, all green lights. Just went through town on green lights. And when we got there, of course, Bob had given them a heads up, and we went to the ER, and they took me and did a CAT scan, and then they had a doctor on a teleprompter from Riverside, and he said, little doctor, she said, "I think we should fly him to Columbus, to Riverside, you know." And he said, "Oh, I think you're equipped there to handle him." And he talked to me, and by this time, you know, my speech was kind of slurred, and my mouth was kind of drooped, and no doubt what the problem was. But uh, when before we left home, we prayed, Jesus, heal me. I said it twice because I thought maybe he wasn't listening yet. But he heard. And anyhow, we did 48 hours of what's your name? How old are you? What's your birthday? And can you feel this? Can you feel that? Can you feel whatever? Well, I'm starting to feel things. And the thing I really felt was when he took all them wires off of me, and it stuck in the hair of my chest. You know, but I don't know how many neurologists, psychologists, brain surgeons, whatever, come to talk. And one guy, I just, you know, you looked at him and you liked him. And he come in and he said, now, I'm going to touch your cheeks. And he goes like this. Do you feel anything? Yeah, both sides feel the same. Then, which side am I touching? And we go, oh, yeah. Of course, I had that sexy nightgown. and he bends over and touches my calves and my legs. And he asked me a couple more questions. I said, would you mind touching my legs again? And he bends down. I said, no, I didn't mean it. I just wanted to see if I could get you to do it. But anyway, had excellent care, had excellent treatment, and we thank the Lord for all that. Another guy come in, tall, skinny guy, and he does this, holds his fingers in. He said, would you squeeze my fingers? And man, I put the vice on him, you know. But anyway, it was, we come home on Tuesday, and Karen went and did the chores, and I just sat in my chair like I was sick. Then Wednesday, my class was coming to our house for our class reunion, and we have one every year. But needed to trim the brush along our driveway so it didn't swipe their cars and so on. So we did that. And she wouldn't let me use a chainsaw. But I could have done that in a hurry if I'd had the chainsaw. But then went Thursday. We had things that had to be done. And Friday was, you know, get ready for the reunion. And Saturday, which was yesterday, we delivered a bull over to Worcester and come home. And while we got the trailer hooked up, we needed to move a group of cows to a different pasture. So we did that. And then she thought she ought to mow the yard, and she thought it'd be best if I took a nap. And I thought, oh, that would be a good idea. So I took a nap, and then when I woke up, boy, I went out and mowed pasture, and she mowed till dark, and that was yesterday, and we're here today, and glad to be with you, and glad to be okay.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you might as well stay up here, Bob. You might as well stay up here and bless the offering next. We were going to do this afterwards, but I thought, oh, he'll be up here. All right, let's pray, bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, first off, Father, for the miracle that you performed in my father. Lord, I bless him. I thank you for him. And Lord, we thank you for this tithe and offering. We bless it. We thank you for it. We thank you for the work, the hard work that it represents, but Father, for your many promises that are attached to that. I bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. All right. Junior church is dismissed. All right. Find my Bible. Oh, hey. Joshua, run this back to him. I forgot to put mine in there. It's blessed as well. Oh, praise God. Well, like I said, last week I got a little long-winded on that one passage of Scripture, so got to finish up today. But I'm going to pick up back in 2 Timothy here in a minute. But I just want people to keep remembering everything we're going through. Jesus has foretold us, and foretold us for a reason. I believe that in the Bible there are things he has not told us because it doesn't matter. Recently we had somebody wanted to know what our end time philosophy was. Jesus is coming back, and when that happens, that happens. But until then, I'm going to continue living life. That's what I was put here to do. You know, and I don't know whether this person wanted to know whether we were preppers, you know, if we were the crazy people that are ready to go to the mountains, or what, but yeah. But nonetheless, we are seeing something change in this country and in the world around us. I was just informed, I think Kyle was telling me, that the statue of Colonel Crawford over in Crawford County was beheaded. It's just getting stupid. Okay, and the reason it's getting stupid is because Jesus foretold us that things were going to happen like this. So, and I'm going to be reading some of this to you. So open your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy. Let's go to verse 4. I'm going to reread this. I ended up on this last week, but I want to start off here. This is my springboard. And Paul told Timothy, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. That means with all patience. Listen, we get a little bit out of shape because somebody didn't get it the first 20 times. But it might have been 21 that they needed. Not all of us learn at the same pace. Our school teachers in here will verify that. Not everybody gets it. I didn't get math until just a couple years ago. I can sit down, you can ask my wife, I can figure up the equations just popping on, not the equations that Jason deals with, but things, simple things that I need every day, I can figure out just like that. It didn't happen in school. I'm a little late bloomer on that. But we're all different on different things. Sometimes we understand something by reading. My wife, she can sit down and read it, and if she can comprehend what she read, and it's saying that she may need to read it again, and then it's, oh yeah, that's how I do it. I can sit down and read something a million times and probably not get it, but if you just put it down in front of me, I can figure it out, and I got it. We're just different. But Paul's talking, telling Timothy to be patient with people, teach them. That's why you may, I think I've heard a similar scripture. I've heard a similar message. Yeah, because not all of us are growing up at the same pace. Okay? So exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound meaning solid, folks. We're in a time in life right now, and he's primarily talking about the church. People that call themselves Christian, they will not listen to what is solid. See, just like the call, and we don't know, maybe she was looking for somebody who was a prepper. Jesus said, make no preparations. Don't worry about this stuff. If we needed to know the time, he would have put it in the Bible. But he told us other things that were more important. But people are not listening to sound doctrine. Now we're accepting sin as normal. That is not the case. We're calling black, white, and white, black. But then on the same boat, we also got people going in saying, we got to get back to legalism. We got to get back to the Ten Commandments. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can't live by the Ten Commandments. They're the law. Do you understand that? That's why I say that. People are upset. Well, Judge or Roy Cooper, he put the Ten Commandments back in his courtroom. Yeah, fine. It's not a big deal to me. It really isn't. It's an image. What did David say? I just butchered the English language. He said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I don't need a plaque on a wall telling me not to sin. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me that convicts me of sin. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to tell us, hey, you're heading down a bad path. Stop. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Okay, we don't need the Ten Commandments on the wall to know I shouldn't covet, I should take a day off, I shouldn't put anything before God, I shouldn't cheat on my spouse, I shouldn't steal, I shouldn't kill, I shouldn't lie. We got all that. I should honor my father and mother and so forth. We have got to remember all of this stuff by the Holy Spirit, not because it's written in black and white. For they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. This is why you should be concerned when a preacher is not preaching truth and they're more focused on self-help. Listen, self-help goes about this far in reality of life, because so many people have got bad self-esteems and they're trying to fix them through, well, I did all the mantras. I did this. I did this. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, you know, I listened to so-and-so. I listened, and you know, they even throw Joyce Meyer in here and they forget the point that Joyce is making. Jesus Christ did this for me. No self-help book did it. Self-help is not going to build your self-esteem. Jesus Christ, a revelation of who you are. And I've been saying this over and over, and I use myself as the example, not to brag, but to tell you that I'm experiencing it. It's truth. It's real. I'm not teaching you conjecture that's never been proven. I'm not a physicist. Okay? I'm teaching you something that I'm walking through. And one of the things is seeing who I am and what I'm worth to God. You know, and it took my son to snap me one day to realize God is moving in my life. He's showing himself faithful. He's bringing me the things that I've desired all those years. And I thought, Lord, the people that cheat and steal, they're getting away with it. They got it. And everybody in here has been in the same boat. You looked at somebody else, you're like, how on earth are they prospering? And you're thinking, well, if that's the game we got to play, that's the game I got to play. And so we compromise, but we shouldn't. And so I've seen God moving on my behalf because I changed who I thought I was. You know, I always thought pretty highly of myself, even as a child. People with low self-esteem really will come off with an air that they think highly of themselves, that they're good to go, but they're really not. Because there's the facade that's on the front, and then you got what's really behind it. You know, a lot of houses today are not real brick houses. They're 2x4 walls with a little brick veneer on the front. Okay? A real brick house is about 3 to 4 layers thick. When you pass through the door, it's that thick. That's a real brick house. When you take off the outside cover, you've got more brick. You've got more solid. But if you take off a modern house, oh, well, you know, that's a brick house. You take it off, you've got OSB on it. That's what you've got, 2x4s. A tornado will blow it down. But you take a house that's been standing for 150 years, made out of brick, that's 3 or 4 layers thick, that house has stood the test of time. And that's what happens with people with low self-esteem. Some of them can put up a facade, real pretty facade, but inside, they're just 2x4s instead of brick. They're not a brick house. They're not as solid as they seem to be. And so, and that's the way I felt. I always put that forward. People, oh, yeah, great. But the truth of the matter is, I felt like a 2x4 house. Okay? And so God has been changing that in me on how I see myself, how I feel about myself. And lo and behold, God is bringing me into a new realm, one that I don't have to cheat, steal to get ahead. God just does it. He just prospers me and blesses me. But they'll start bringing that stuff forward, these teachers. That's what kind of teachers they'll start heaping up on themselves. Teachers, oh, don't worry. Listen, don't sin. I'm not going to spend all my time telling you what sin is. Because the Apostle Paul put it this way, all things are lawful for me, but they're not beneficial. Okay? You listen to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is telling you cheesecake bad, cheesecake's bad for you. But don't look at me and say cheesecake's bad. Okay? You see what I'm saying? And if it's something that is bad for you, particularly, let me tell you what. This is something, you know, anybody that's ever dealt with an addiction, you can't replace one addiction with another. It's an addiction. This gal that I know, her and her husband, they pastor a church. Her daughter was in rehab for heroin addiction. And this is, I forget how many times it's been for her. But this rehab they finally had her in was so strict, they could not even have caffeine. Nothing that created an addiction. Okay? She snuck out and got a Mountain Dew. Got her kicked out. Because they were so strict on it. This is her third time around. And they're trying to break. You cannot replace one with another. You have to be free of the addictions. That's why, you know, you've heard me say before, if people are going to jump all over somebody smoking cigarettes, but yet they don't have a problem drinking coffee, an addiction is an addiction. They're both drugs. Just because the government says that they're controlling it. Seriously? Really? Y'all remember the old joke, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help you? Run. But the truth of the matter is, you can't sit there and say, well, you know, my caffeine addiction isn't as bad as your nicotine. Yeah, it is. You get headaches? Yeah. Do you get grouchy? Yeah. Well, so do they. So the results are the same. Just caffeine's less destructive to you than some of the others, okay? And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. See, nowadays, we're trying to rewrite the Bible. Well, they weren't really miracles. Listen, every miracle that took place with God, you need to look at the Bible truthfully and ask God, show me the word. Well, you know, this is what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, I know the truth. The Bible tells us. Fire and brimstone came down. I don't believe the fire and brimstone originated in heaven. It was a volcano. God knew when it was going to blow. And he had set a point that time for it to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible. The facts are there. When we're trying to rewrite the Bible is when we say, well, you know, dinosaurs didn't exist. I'm sorry, they did. Dinosaurs did exist. But we don't know for sure when in our history. Many people, especially in Pompeii, you know, when Mount Vesuvius erupted, it was over. Matter of a couple hours, everybody was dead. And they have found many times in places after they started excavating it, the word for judgment written on the walls. They knew they were due to be judged. And I'm going to point out something. You know, everybody focuses on sexual sin. The church is fascinated with sexual sin. But the truth of the matter is, I don't believe it was a sexual sin that was as big of an issue to God as justice. This is what's not always told about this. This is in the book of Enoch and Jasher, or at least Jasher, not Enoch, about Sodom and Gomorrah. Their judges were corrupt. Does that sound familiar to anybody? The judges were corrupt. Pompeii was the same way. Their judges and their people were corrupt. Justice did not rule. You will find more scriptures in the Bible about God saying, "A crooked scale I despise." You'll find more of that than you will find him talking about sexual immorality. You'll find Paul talk about it several times. Jesus barely hit the issue. But he talked about religious people and how they judge unfairly. Matter of fact, I think he talked about judging a couple times, didn't he? So if we ever wonder why we should pray for our judges, right there's why. We got to pray for our judges that justice is served. True justice. Based on facts. Okay? Because that's kind of, I can't help but think about that song, "The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia." A judge makes a hasty decision based on the fact that they saw footprints and it was somebody's gun. And the guy didn't do it. So don't be turned aside to fables, stories that sound good, have well meaning, but they do not carry the truth. There's a lot of truth in a lot of things. As a matter of fact, you will find about this much truth in every false religion. And some of them focus on a little different. That's why we need to get into the Bible. We need to decipher what is right in the Bible. We have so many tools now to learn what these words meant. We've broken codes and we've broken into things, and we can now understand what they meant by that word. Back when King James had the Bible written, they didn't fully understand Hebrew. As a matter of fact, you need to understand, back then, they didn't like Jews. Many people didn't like the Jewish people. And yet, somehow, God loves them. Maybe we ought to think about that. Which is what the whole oxymoron about the white supremacist groups running around. We hate Jews, blacks, people of color. And yet you claim to be Christian. Go figure. Your Savior was a Jew. You do remember that, right? I mean, people do remember that fact. So people today are not listening to what's true. The world, listen, if this is the church, how much more so is the world going to be? They wouldn't listen to the truth to begin with. That is why we have people cutting off the heads of a statue of a man who fought in the Revolutionary War. That's why ESPN is pulling a guy from one game because his name's Robert Lee. Yes. He's Asian, by the way. One of the most common names in the Asian world, Lee. And a lot of them, Robert, Bob, is a very common name. But they pulled him, asked him to do another game instead of that. I think it was the University of Virginia game, instead of doing that one. Why? Because we're afraid of a bunch of dumb people who won't listen to the truth. Listen, as they say, it will get worse before it gets better. I hate to say that, but did I not tell you over the last 8 years that with all the garbage that's going on, the Klan will rise up? You only push, and that's not because I agree with them. Do not agree whatsoever with any white supremacist group, any hate group. Okay, apparently you got to say stuff in that vernacular for people to understand it today. But I do not agree with what they said, but I can tell you, you push on somebody so much, they fight back. You can, you know, most people have either had a rabbit or have touched a rabbit or knew somebody had had a rabbit. Oh, they're just so cute. Bugs Bunny didn't do the world any good. Oh, Bugs is so cute. You push a rabbit in the corner, he will fight. And let me tell you right now, them little toenails, there's a reason they can dig holes. Them things hurt, and they will bite. So rabbits can be quite vicious because, you know, in the wild, they don't have somebody protecting them. They have to fend off the coyotes, the dogs, the cats, and whatever else is trying to eat them by themselves. So any group pushed into a corner is going to fight. And this is where I tell the church, God did not call us to fight like that. We have, when we understand our spiritual authority and we understand who we are in Christ, we don't have to pull make an army. That was a big brain cramp in the dark ages, because God's word was not illuminated anymore. Oh, let's go kill the Muslims. Joe will tell you that was actually fabricated by the Pope, because they needed something else to do. They needed to keep control of the people. That's what religion is about, is controlling people. God didn't want religion. God's been trying for centuries to get us back to the way it was. Fellowship with Him. We come together, we can learn. By the way, when we fellowship with each other, we're fellowshipping with Him. That's why He said, wherever two or three of you are, I am there as well. It's called fellowship. Okay? Now, John 16. And 33. These things, did I go in the right order? No. Matthew, as you were. Matthew chapter 10. I knew I'd skip something. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. It says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Okay, here's the problem with the church. Most of the time we try to go out dumb as sheep. Sheep really aren't all that smart. Well, do I need to go down the road on goats? I mean, sheep really aren't that smart, but serpents. You stop and think about it. I know many people, they're deathly afraid of a snake. And, you know, and while I don't go out hunting them, well, I used to as a kid, but I don't. I've wanted to come to the revelation that, you know, I kill garter snakes and black snakes and wonder why there's mice and rats and all these bugs around my house. I've told my wife, I said, we got a couple really nice sized garter snakes. They're about this big. And the one, I came home, parked my truck, and right next to where I parked my truck, I have railroad ties stacked. And they hold back the bank right there. And I looked over, and there's something twitching hanging down there about this long. And I look over, and here's this garter snake, and he's got this big old fat toad in his mouth. He is trying to take that toad on. And I think the frog was winning, to be honest with you, because there was no way his jaw could open up anymore. And he wasn't letting him go, though, until I got out and shut the door. Then he let go and slithered off. But, you know, there's no reason to kill him. Now, I'll be honest with you, if it's got teeth, and when I say teeth, I mean the tooth that come down out the front, it's game on. I'm not messing around. Go find out if you're going to bite me or not. I strike first. But he said to be wise as serpents. Serpents lay in wait. They're camouflaged. They will remain motionless to get their prey. I can't tell you how many times I watch these videos on TV where they'll have this big old snake just laying there, and this rat or mouse will walk right up to it. And then, whoop, and in a flash, it's done. But that's what Jesus is saying. Don't be like the dove. Woo! You know, we got a flock of them over here. Don't be like them. Harmless. They're harmless, but you got to use the brains. They sometimes won't get out of the road, which is why there was one about 2 months ago laying in the driveway. I don't know who hit him, but somebody got him. You didn't do? All right, that's why I made sure Angela knew. She's like, there's a dead pigeon in the driveway. I said, I didn't do it. And, but
But they, one, they make a lot of noise. If you're trying to get away, you want to be quiet. A snake can get away. It can lay there and wait. It's disciplined. Doves, they are not. I get pigeons in my barn all the time. And I got to be careful. I creep up, and I got a little slit. It kind of like feels like a pillbox from World War II. And I just got to wait till they go away from the roof, because the .22 will go right through them and go through the roof. And then there's another hole to fix. And I wait, but it doesn't take much. I just make a little noise, and they jump, and they flutter, and they go over and fly right in the window. And they sit there. Perfect target. And I can shoot them and throw them out in the yard. My dog won't even mess with them. It's amazing. He's a bird dog, too. He just looks, sniffs them, and walks away. But he'll chase them if they're in the yard. I guess the dead ones don't attract him any. But we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Not stupid, okay? We're supposed to be smart. We're supposed to know what's going on and why it's going on. So many people, listen, this is why I challenge you and charge you. If you're on Facebook, any social media, no matter what it is, before you go throwing your story out there, fact check it. I don't care if it was the Conservative Tribune that put it out. They're just as cockamamie as the liberals, making up stories as to what this was and that. Listen, if you didn't find that story backed anywhere else, it ain't true. And if it seemed to be too good to be true, it is. Okay, but fact check what you're biting hold of, because people are grabbing that stuff and calling it the gospel, and it's not. I'll give you a really good example. A couple of weeks ago, one of my friends on Facebook shared this. You probably saw it. That a young girl was driving down 314 over here, just down the road from where I live. It gave specifications. Said she saw a little girl sitting on the side of the road crying. She pulled over, and these guys came running out of the woods, took her in the woods, and raped her. And this one, and I know this was true. I know the girl. It wasn't 2 hours later, the sheriff was making sure that it was all across everybody. He said, "This is false. This is false." And it kept going. People want to believe lies. They want to believe garbage like this. Listen, our world isn't as cockamamie as we'd like to make it out to be. The only reason, and it is, it's because the people that are doing it, they're in a group right here. Here's the rest of us. And they're right here at the center of our attention, the center of our world. Quit paying them the attention and you'll see how quick they stop. But, and I'm challenging you as the church, God gave you an amazing brain. Let the clutch out and let it engage. I think that's what needs to happen to most of the church. We want to grab the latest, greatest story. Oh, they're doing this. Yes, you know what? They are killing Christians in Iraq, Afghanistan. They're killing Christians in Egypt. They're killing Christians in the Sudan. They're killing Christians around the world. They're killing Christians in Vietnam and other areas, in Burma. They are killing Christians around the world. But we want to grab hold of the story. Little Timmy fell in the well. The dog came back, spoke English to his dad, and they went back and got the kid out of the well. Didn't happen. But yet that's the gospel we'll run with. We'll hold on to the fable. We won't engage common sense. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You don't have to necessarily think church, just their places of where they hang out and worship. Okay? Wherever it is they like to gather. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake and as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Now, I'll be honest with you, this little passage of scripture kind of makes me a little nervous because three times between the ages of 16 and 19, I received a word that I'd stand before kings and generals. So it's a little concerning to me. But I'm holding on to the fact that maybe it's kings and generals here. I don't like getting beat. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother, will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause him to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus said this. Paul said this. You go back into Revelation, it talks about those who overcome in each church that Jesus talked about. The only church was was it Philadelphia? No, wasn't Philadelphia. Anyhow, all but one church, Jesus said, pointed out sin that was in their life, and he said, if anybody who overcomes, this is what you will be. And the truth of the matter is, we've got to overcome. We're going to endure some stuff because of our faith. We may not be drug out in the streets and killed, okay? That may not happen here, but it is happening in this world. It is not necessarily us. But we will be talked about because of our faith. You will be talked about at work because you're a Christian. You will be talked about because you believe a certain way. They're going to do it. And you'll have people challenging. You may have people get in your face. So I pray that you either really know how to hold yourself or you can defend yourself. I have no problem with defending myself. I won't throw the first strike, but unless it's him. I got strike fast and strike often. But it's because I love him. But people will turn on each other and betray each other. People that were close. And I like to say that's not happening, folks, but I have seen it in my own family. Okay? Witnessed it firsthand, how they turn on you in a dime. Some of you, I know I see several of you shaking your heads. Yeah, you've experienced it. People will turn. And the sad part is, the number one thing that makes them turn, a little green, little money. $100, oh, they'll stab you in the back in a heartbeat. It's just ridiculous. However, now go to John. Chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is where we need to understand. This is where we need to hold our peace, folks, knowing that we don't have to fight. They're already overcome. We have to hold our peace. And now I'm going to tell you right now, as a military man, that is hard to do. But it is something I'm learning. Step back and let God into the battle. I don't have to be the spear point going in. I can be part of the shaft. Let God do all the damage, and I come through and just keep. I get part of the glory too. But Jesus said, I've overcome the world. If Jesus overcame the world, we're overcomers. We've overcome already. So we don't have to lose our peace because, well, I don't know what North Korea is. Do you really think? Seriously. Nobody wants a nuclear war. And if you're one of those people right now, let me stop you right here. If you're one of those people that thinks President Trump is trying to start a nuclear war, you're nuts. You are stinking nuts. He's trying to stop it. But you don't stop it by running in a corner and sucking your thumb. Please go away, big bad man. You don't do that. You know, people can talk bad about President Reagan all they want, but it's because President Reagan stood up and said, you know what? We're not having it. Tear down that wall. I praise God he lived to see that wall come down. He wasn't a perfect man. We know this. If there's any of you out there that are perfect, please pick up the first stone. I got a big pile of them at my house. Make sure if you're going to throw it at me that it's big enough just to take me out in one shot. Because I don't like getting hit with rocks either. I've kicked my lawnmower and jumped up and down on it a few times when it's launched them. We're not trying to start a war. We're trying to stop it. Because the second we back down as a country, we've lost. God's trying to bring this country back up. We need to pray for our leaders. Pray for wisdom. We can pray for the world leaders too. Leaders of the other countries. We can pray for the leaders of China. Oh, but they're communists. Seriously, you think God doesn't know that? Bible said the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand, and he turns it like a river, however he desires. The Mississippi didn't always run in its same course where it's at right now. They can find boats and stuff a mile away where it used to be. They can find debris where the Mississippi ran a mile further in one direction. It changed. What changed it? A tree stump, a rock, a flood. Things happen. Things change. And God can take the heart of any world leader and turn it. God can do what needs to be done. He has a plan for the whole thing. But what we have to understand is this plan isn't based on history from 1945 to 2017. It's Adam and Eve, the fall of Lucifer. It goes way back to there. God's got to settle that. And once that is completely settled, then we'll be free of it. But until that's settled, Jesus said, you'll have tribulations in this world, but hold on to your peace. That's why I'm not gathering up preparations for a Holocaust. I've already told my families, I said, listen, if you see a mushroom cloud and a bright light, go outside and stand. I'm just going to be flat out honest. Get it over with. I'm not saying commit suicide, but you're probably not going to survive. Oh, but Pastor, it sounds like you're talking about suicide. Listen, if anybody does come into your house and say, deny Christ or die, are you going to save your own skin? Because you're technically, according to what you just thought of me, committed suicide. That's not what I'm talking about. People think an apocalyptic world is going to be awesome to live in. These preppers are nuts. Yeah. Yeah, go without water for a week. And then you can't drink the water out of the creek either because it's contaminated. And any water that comes down is contaminated. Yeah. Which is, by the way, why they say take and hit the outer areas. I'm not worried about a nuclear war. Because as I told you last week, God isn't coming back for French fries. He's coming back for a living, breathing people. However the earth ends up in the end is how it ends up. But God wants his people to understand he doesn't hate us. He's not going to leave us. I love that song. Never once did he leave us. He's not leaving us now. People are going to hate us. That's why he said, you know what? You may be arrested. You may be drugged before rulers. And they're going to ask you a question. And you're like, I don't know what to say. He said, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. How many times? I mean, Moses is like, Lord, I stutter. Well, I'll give you Aaron. Most of you have read the whole account of this. How many times did Aaron actually speak? It was Moses. The Holy Spirit told Moses what to say. We don't have to worry about it. Not going to worry about anything. Well, I don't know. Go on living your life. Because the second we quit living our life, we're done. Exactly. We're done. Oh, but I want to be protected in the end times. There's got to be a protected area. There is no protected area. That was a teaching I heard many years ago from age of 10 to about 12. God's got these protected areas and you can see the blessing on them. We got to get kerosene lanterns. We got to learn to make beeswax candles. We got to learn to be self-sufficient. In other words, you want us to be Amish, right? Yeah. And even they're going to be up the creek. Because they're used to all the nice things we got, kerosene, and it ain't going to be there. So that's why we have to trust God. I would rather trust the one who said on day one, let there be light, a couple days later made the sun. How many of you caught that before? And day and night started the second he said, let there be light. He divided it at that point. And yet the sun was what, day three? Or day two, somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly. I'm not one that's going to get bent out of shape on that. Day two or three, before the sun ever came out. And then there's people that are all worried about the eclipse. Oh, it's been happening for a millennia. Eclipses have been happening. I heard somebody saying the other day that some leader said, God, if you want President Trump impeached, then let the sun be eclipsed. You do realize mathematically they can tell you in 100 years when the next one's going to happen. 7 years, yeah. Yeah, we're already ready. 7 years on this date at this time because it's mathematical. You can work it out. Now, I'll be honest with you, that math just fried my brain. I got my new Speed Square book and Speed Square yesterday, and I'm looking at the book. I'm like, dear God, no wonder I can't cut rafters. You got to be a mathematician to figure this out. I just order them. But don't worry. Jesus said his peace. My peace I'm leaving with you. Jesus walked in a time where his own people weren't in control of their own country. Somebody else, somebody corrupt like the Romans, was calling the shots. We do not have to worry. He walked about, did what he wanted, did what his father said. And as a matter of fact, many times people tried to kill him. One day they tried to push him off of a cliff. Y'all remember that? He was outside Nazareth. And they were going to push him over the cliff, and he just started walking right through them, and they didn't even know it. I think that's hilarious. The only reason I think it's hilarious is because I saw an episode of the X-Files where there was a Vietnamese Viet Cong who supposedly had this ability. He could pass through crowds. He was an assassin. Boy, that would be cool. Just walk through people. They didn't even know you were there. Of course, maybe that goes back to my fascination or my fantasy of going back and standing for what's right in these wars where people are in the wrong, obviously, and they're coming across with bows and arrows and swords and spears, and I jump out with an M60, even the score. Am I the only one who has that fantasy? Okay, Phil's with me. Phil's with me. I'm like, man, an M60 would just take them all out. Oh, anyhow. I think that's what I was thinking on 300. Oh, man, just get up there with a machine gun. Don't worry about it. All right, let's stand. Don't buy into the fear that the media is trying to sell you. Don't buy into the fear that your friends, your family, they're trying to sell you. Oh, I just don't know what we're going to do. We are human beings. We will do what we've done for however long. Improvise, adapt, and overcome, and we will get around. Well, they might come take my house. Listen, if everything shuts down, there ain't nobody to take your house. Your mortgage is no longer existent. Who's going to take it? Don't worry about stuff. It's just ridiculous, the things we will worry about. Jesus said, don't even worry about what you're going to wear tomorrow. That means what you're going to dress, what you're putting on. You've got the clothes. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. I don't think about what I'm wearing for church until I get up that morning, go in my closet and say, well, what shirt requires less ironing? Well, I think it's that outfit. So if you see me wearing the same clothes, relatively know that they're easy iron or they don't require ironing. Thus, but just know that God is good all the time. And no matter what happens, no matter what, he's there. He'll never leave you. And I want to point out one thing. I was going to say something right afterwards, but just as Bob shared, they stopped and they prayed. Okay? I told Angela, I said, I don't know how to feel about this. Because they didn't call us until later. It was much later, until things were resolved. And I said, I'm their pastor. They didn't call me to pray. And God said, that's what you're teaching them, isn't it? To pray. And I think they were in the parking lot of another church, weren't you, when you made the phone call? Or did you? Yeah. So it's like, you know, we don't, that's the point. You need to be able to pray. And it doesn't have to be some eloquent, thought out prayer. Just as Bob was saying, he said, Jesus, help me. You know, I watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge the other day. Great movie. And realized I've been on Hacksaw Ridge. My base was right around the corner from it. It was up below Fatima Air Base, Marine Corps Air Station, I should say. But didn't realize I'd been on it. And it is steep. By the way, it was 350 feet. I thought it was 100 that he climbed. But anyhow, every time he'd come back with a man, and this was true, because there was a lot of fiction in the movie, but then there was truth. And every time he'd go back, he said, Jesus, help me get one more. Jesus, help me get one more, to the tune of 75. By the way, he doesn't necessarily believe the exact same way you and I do. He believed in worshiping on Saturday. But you know what we do? We call him a cult. How stupid did the church get? You want to worship Saturday? Worship Saturday. And they worshiped. It's a day of prayer. So stop and think about it before you go labeling people. Because by the way, by coming here, you're labeled as crazy. Because we're a spirit-filled church. So embrace it. I don't suffer from insanity. I enjoy every moment of it. Amen. Yes, sir. Okay.
She's been in the hospital 58 days.
Oh, get up here.
She's got a bleeding kidney, and she passes blood clots.
All right.
She goes to rehab and then back to medical, surgical. Rehab is progressively a little better.
Okay.
And I'm asking God to break that chain.
Amen. 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 Amen right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we pray for Harriet, and we speak to her kidney. Right now, we command that bleeding to stop. We command that that kidney to be healed and whole. Father, whatever is causing it, we command it to be healed, and that body to line up with the way you created it, Lord God. 58 days is 58 days too long. Right now, in Jesus' name, be healed. I thank you, Lord, by the faith that Harold came up and asked, she is healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Of course. Yes. Amen. I'm looking forward to hearing a good positive. Like she went home tomorrow. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and I will dismiss you. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. And Lord God, we thank you for your many wonderful insights into your word. Father, I thank you that you've told us beforehand things that were going to happen. You've told us not to worry about them. Now, Father, I pray right now, because I know I can say that, but there are people sitting in here today, they're still struggling with how can I just let go and not worry. Father, I pray that you help them. You touch them. Father, touch their heart so that they realize they only breathe because you said. Father, that they don't have to think about it. Just like breathing, they don't think about it. They don't think about their next heartbeat. That it's just going to be there, that they rely on you just like that. Father, I pray for your peace now to settle on each and every person. I thank you, Lord God, that as they go out, that it will go with them. Father, I bless them today. I bless each and every person. Father, those that may be sick today, Father, we pray that you touch them and heal them. And Lord God, I thank you that you're delivering people out of snares in Jesus' name. Amen.